you about our approach to using policy as an instrument for addressing cancer burden and cancer disparities. The work I'll be talking to you today is part of a larger project that we have funded by the National Cancer Institute Center to Reduce Cancer Disparities, one of the community network projects, and we'll be talking with you on behalf of the Arkansas Community Cancer Network. And I have no conflict of interest to disclose here. This is all work we're doing in the public interest to benefit our communities, particularly those that are disproportionately affected by cancer. And again, I'm Glenn Mays. I'm the chair of our Health Policy and Management Department at UAMS, and with colleagues, I lead up our effort around policy research and evaluation. I also want to recognize our principal investigator on this initiative, Dr. Rhonda Henry Tillman, who is a professor of surgery at our university and also director of cancer control for our Arkansas Cancer Research Center. So, policy, the way we view policy, it really is a behavioral intervention, an intervention or a set of interventions that we can potentially use to address behaviors that ultimately are affecting exposure to risk, or affecting our risk of cancer, and what populations are subject to occupational or environmental risks that place them at disproportionate risk of developing cancer. These are instruments that we can use to affect access, to affect awareness of cancer risk, and awareness of interventions and strategies we can use to reduce our cancer risk. Policy is potentially an instrument that we can use to address geographic and financial barriers to screening, barriers to quality care, barriers to survivorship issues. These are instruments we can also use to affect not just the behavior of individuals in looking at their cancer risk and trying to reduce their cancer risk, but these are instruments that we can use to affect the behavior of providers, health professionals, physicians, and other members of our healthcare system that have a role to play in preventing cancer and treating cancer as well. And so policy is also a powerful, potentially powerful part of our armamentarium for addressing issues around quality and safety, and disparities in quality and safety with respect to cancer. We think about what the instruments are, what types of policy instruments we can use in the cancer arena. In Arkansas, in our approach, we've tried to think pretty broadly. A lot of us think, when we think about policy, automatically think about money and think about funding. Policy is a way to get funding into our programs, and certainly that's an important aspect of policy. But there are a number of other active ingredients that we're certainly looking at in looking at policy approaches to reducing cancer in Arkansas. Starting with the front end, the mechanism, the policy's role in generating revenue, it's that taxing authority, particularly at the state level, that we know certainly in the cancer arena has been very powerful in at least addressing the tobacco-related cancer risks. And certainly we know that tobacco taxes have been an important driver, an important instrument in reducing reducing tobacco consumption, particularly in our younger population. So, again, the taxing authority is a way both to discourage risky and harmful behavior like tobacco smoking, but it's also a way to encourage beneficial activities like inducing employers to provide better coverage for health and wellness services, including cancer screening for their populations. The tax code is a mechanism to encourage those kind of beneficial activities. We also, use policy to, in terms of the spending authority to direct monies into beneficial programs, screening, education programs that we can deliver on a population-wide basis to reduce risk and disparities. And as part of that spending authority, the policy details are really what determines who's eligible for these programs. They also determine what kind of benefits we're able to offer in terms of screening, in terms of education, other benefits that we can generate to reduce risks. And they also, as part of that spending authority, we can use that authority to affect change through payment, and particularly payments to providers and other members of the healthcare delivery system that are charged with delivering screening, delivering interventions that are targeted to cancer. We also have regulatory authority that we use, certainly, and again, you can think about the Clean Indoor Air ordinances and restrictions on tobacco use. That's an important policy instrument as well. We also have tried to think about just the role of policy in producing and disseminating information as an important vehicle for addressing cancer issues as well. So policy can generate information through funding research, and then can also disseminate information through, you know, professional guidelines or through direct media campaigns and other mechanisms to get information out to the public and the health professionals. And then finally, more of an informal policy instrument that we've looked at in Arkansas is just the ability of our policymakers and government leaders to use their bully pulpit to convene stakeholders in the public and private sector, and to motivate and stimulate and undertake voluntary efforts, collaborative efforts in the community to address cancer risks. So we're trying in Arkansas, at least in our approach, to really use this full spectrum of policy instruments to address burden and disparities. In Arkansas, like a number of other states, I know we're not unique in this area, but we do have a fairly robust foundation, a policy foundation, in terms of existing policies and regulations that have been passed over the recent decades to address cancer issues. And that's kind of our starting point for our project, is to look at this existing foundation, these existing, and most of these that I'm showing you here are state legislative actions designed to address cancer issues. Everything from funding our cancer research center to insurance mandates for covering mammography, and more recently for covering cancer pharmaceuticals, and covering now we have a colorectal cancer screening mandate requiring insurers to cover colorectal screening, to funding our registry, to the tobacco tax increases, to funding studies like our health disparities study that was again funded by our state legislature to take a careful look at the magnitude and nature of health disparities in cancer in our state. And so part of our policy evaluation framework is looking at what we currently have on the books, looking at what's working, what's not, things that we've passed but perhaps not implemented well, but then also look at gaps, comparing our state to other states, looking at opportunities for additional policy action. We also recognize in our approach that policy, although we can think about it as a behavioral intervention, one type of behavioral intervention, it's a fairly blunt intervention, in that we're having to work in the policy in the political environment. So the design of our policies and the adoption of our policies aren't controlled and aren't necessarily driven by the scientific process, but they're driven by a political process and negotiation. And so we may not always get the perfect evidence-based policy passed through our political process, and then there are compromises that are made. Additionally, after you get policies adopted, then there's the entire new challenge of actually getting what was adopted and designed implemented in practice, and making sure that the requisite resources are allocated to implement what was designed and adopted. And in the case of regulations, there's the whole capacity to enforce our policies and these things, implementation and enforcement, again, are not automatic, and we have to look at our capacities to undertake those activities. And if these activities are not done well, despite having a legislative success, you may not have a success in terms of actually realizing outcomes and reducing disparities. And then finally, we recognize that policy instruments in particular tend to be blunt instruments. With any kind of population-based approach, whether it's regulation, taxation, payment policies, new programs, there's always the possibility for unintended consequences. And so we have tried to build in capacity to monitor the effects, monitor the implementation and the effects of our policies, so that we can identify unintended problems that arise and create mid-course corrections as we go forward. This is kind of a schematic of the policy development and evaluation model that we're using in Arkansas as part of our community cancer network. Starts really with community input. We're working as part of the larger community networks project in Arkansas, working across the state with community-driven, community-based cancer councils. And that's really where a lot of the impetus for our policy development work comes from. The community councils around the state are charged with kind of identifying needs and priorities within their communities, identifying problems and barriers that their communities are facing with respect to raising awareness of cancer risk, with respect to obtaining access to screening and prevention and treatment services. So that information is filtered up from our community partners. We then have a process to then engage and work directly with key policy stakeholders, primarily at the state level, because that's really where our focus is, So we have this information dissemination and partnership building phase where we're working with our state elected officials, but also with our agency administrators, people in our Department of Health, people in our Medicaid office, people in other relevant health and social service agencies within government. And then we also have our major advocacy organizations as well at the table, our state chapter of our American Cancer Society, of our various cancer foundations and cancer-related organizations working with us to share information about what our cancer burdens, what are priorities emerging from our community partners, and what are opportunities on the horizon that for policy change. We then have a second phase of our model focused on policy assessment, where we have analytical staff based at our university who are engaged in reviewing, again, our current policies, what we currently have on the books in Arkansas that are designed to address cancer issues, how well they're working, are we implementing, are we enforcing as we're designed, are there gaps that need to be addressed. We also then look outside of Arkansas to what other states are doing, using resources like the NCI's state cancer policy database. You know, what are innovations occurring in other states, and are they worthy of consideration in Arkansas? And also looking at the federal policy environment as well, and because those federal policy changes can create opportunities for affecting change at the state level. Then once we actually have policies adopted in Arkansas, we have our third major component, which is the policy evaluation piece, where we look at over time as policies are developed and adopted, how well they're working. Are we reaching the intended target population? Are we implementing and enforcing the policies as designed? Are the policies are achieving their intended effects in terms of both processes and outcomes? And then looking eventually at the sustainability piece and the maintenance over time. I'll give you a few quick examples of some of the issues that we're tracking as part of the policy evaluation piece of this project. Really, we evaluate policy in four major areas. On the front end, we look at issues around awareness and engagement. Are we engaging our key policy stakeholders at the state level? Are we helping to raise their awareness of cancer issues, raise their interest in making change using policy to address cancer issues? Again, engaging policymakers, but also engaging our community partners in providing them with a way to get the community needs and priorities reached up to the level of policymakers. Secondly, monitoring the policy development and adoption processes. Looking at primarily at the state level, at our legislative process, what kind of policy issues are reaching the policy agenda, what kind of bills and laws and regulations are being designed, looking at then what passes and what doesn't, what issues are raised and is part of the policy debate and hearings, and what information are needed by policymakers to make informed decisions about policies that are under their active consideration. Thirdly, then once we get policy adoption, we look at then initially issues around implementation. How well are policies being implemented, consistent with plans, and then finally looking at policy outcomes and impact as the fourth major piece. Just a little more detail on each of those four areas, and looking at issues around engagement and cancer, we look at the basics of what kind of policy stakeholders are involved in our process. We have, for example, legislative briefings that we do on a bi-yearly basis where we pick on a specific high-priority topic where we have major issues of cancer burden and major issues of cancer disparities. We invite legislators, we invite our agency officials and heads, we invite our other kind of non-governmental stakeholders in the policy arena, and we look at who's attending those briefings and including, you know, staff as well, and how frequently they're engaged in that process. So just looking at basic participation, are we reaching our intended target audience in terms of policymakers and other policy stakeholders? In looking at policy development adoption, we look at, you know, to what extent are we seeing cancer issues reaching the policy agenda, again, primarily at the state level. Are committees and our advocacy organizations placing cancer issues and cancer disparities issues on their legislative and policy agendas? Are we seeing actual proposals developed, bills filed, regulations developed in response to the high priority cancer issues that are developed through this process? And then what's our success rate with actually getting these policies adopted through the process? What makes it, what doesn't, and looking at some of the reasons for why, looking at objections that were raised, and those kind of issues as well. With implementation and maintenance, we look first and foremost at the level of resources and infrastructure that's available to actually implement the policies and programs that are passed. It's one thing to authorize a program. It's quite another thing to appropriate the resources and to make sure you have the infrastructure, the staff, the facilities, and the information, the other kind of resources you need to actually implement in practice. We look very carefully at reach because of the major focus on disparities. We certainly are aware of the possibility for, again, unintended consequences if we're not paying attention to who we're reaching and who we're not with these policies. We could end up exacerbating disparities unintentionally by creating new programs. So we look carefully at that as we implement new policies. And then also looking at to the extent possible, all our policies consistent with evidence-based guidelines and the best available information and evidence about how to prevent cancer, how to reduce risk, how to reduce disparities in cancer. And then for our policy outcomes and impacts, this again is a major area of focus for us as we get new policies on the books related to cancer. Primarily for evaluating outcomes and impact, we're using quasi-experimental research and evaluation designs. You know, we don't have the opportunity to do randomized controlled trials of policies and regulations. That's just not a feasible strategy. So primarily we're using quasi-experimental designs, using existing data from secondary data sources, our cancer registry, our BRFIS data, our hospital discharge data, to look at to gather good baseline data prior to policy implementation, and then to track those measures after policy implementation to look at change over time. And there's two specific recently adopted cancer-related policies where we have this kind of a outcome evaluation in place now. One's related to our colorectal cancer policy that was passed in 2005 that created an insurance mandate requiring colorectal cancer, but also created a demonstration program that allows us to provide access to screening services for uninsured population as well. The second major policy that we have this in place is our recently passed Clean Indoor Air Act that bans smoking in all workplaces in Arkansas, including restaurants and bars. Tobacco-related illness and cancer is a major problem for us in Arkansas, as well as I know across the country. So these are the two major recently adopted policies where we're looking carefully from an outcomes and impact perspective about the effectiveness of these policies, particularly not just on overall cancer burden, but also on disparities. I'll talk about some of the issues and concerns we have as these policy evaluations are playing out. First, starting with our policy around insurance mandates. Again, this was one of the major new policies that was adopted under the while our cancer policy framework has been in place in Arkansas, in requiring insurers to cover colorectal cancer screening according to evidence-based guidelines. The opportunity for addressing disparities here, obviously, is that our minority and low-income and underserved populations in Arkansas, they're the ones most likely to be in less generous health insurance arrangements, that they're most likely to lack coverage for colorectal cancer screening modalities. And so, you know, we anticipate if this policy is executed successfully, that this policy could be effective in closing the disparity in screening rates, in colorectal cancer screening rates, that we have in Arkansas. The problem is we know that insurance mandates are only going to affect those people who have insurance in the first place, so it's not going to reach the uninsured. And so that's going to be a major limitation of this policy in being able to close the gap in screening disparities. It also, our policy in Arkansas at this point does not address cost sharing as a barrier. So health insurers, while they're now required to cover colorectal cancer screening, they can certainly, they're not barred from jacking up the deductibles, jacking up the out-of-pocket costs in order to to compensate for that screening mandate. And so, although we're and that may be a a weakness in our policy, if these now these the ability to raise cost sharing creates new financial barriers to screening, particularly for our low income and underserved populations. And so, we're monitoring that closely through the policy evaluation. Thirdly, we discovered again after our policy was passed that there's a major loophole with respect to our Medicaid program. The policy was designed so that our Medicaid, like private insurers, our Medicaid program would be required to cover evidence-based colorectal cancer screening modalities. Well, in Arkansas, the problem that we discovered after the fact is that Medicaid, our Medicaid program actually has a limit on the number of screening and diagnostic services that are covered. And so if a patient happens to have reached their limit, their benefit limit in a given year, even though our state law requires coverage of colorectal cancer screening, Medicaid is denying screening for those patients who have already reached their cap, their benefit cap. So this is, again, another major limitation, an unintended consequence that we've discovered as part of the policy evaluation process in Arkansas. So we're looking at ways of addressing that and coming up in the next legislative cycle. We're working again with our policy stakeholders to find some corrections there. In the interest of time, I mentioned the other major policy opportunity that we're policy evaluation is we're looking at our Clean Indoor Act, our way to reduce smoking restrictions. Here, the concern is we know that minority and underserved populations are more likely to be in occupations that have greater exposure to tobacco smoke. And we also know some of those occupations are may be less likely to comply with the law. They may be working in bars and restaurants in particular, where we have limited ability to enforce this law. And so that's the major focus of the policy evaluation for this particular law is looking at potential disparities in enforcement of our smoking regulation that may, again, allow disparities in exposure to tobacco smoke to persist in Arkansas. So we're looking very carefully at that. So that's kind of a sketch of where we are now. We're hoping that through this process, the policy adoption and evaluation model, we'll be raising awareness and raising the focus of our policy issues to appreciate, understand cancer disparities in particular, and also at the same time giving a voice to our community stakeholders, giving them a voice in the policy process as well, and that the result will be we'll learn more quickly what works well in the policy arena to reduce disparities and ultimately achieve larger and faster reductions in those disparities.